We ended last week with a challenge, and the challenge was to remember the idea of Tzipisa LeYoshua, that we should remember every day in our Shemona Esrei, three times a day, that Mashiach is coming, that we should be waiting for Mashiach, and to remember by Es Semach David Avdecha, to remember what's going to be, never to be Miyayish, not to give up hope, even if it's difficult for us to believe that Mashiach is on his way here, but he is, and to keep working on it. There's a Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim speaks about the last Mishnah in Sota. The last Mishnah in Sota is a very interesting one. It's really the last Mishnah in the Gemara. It's technically a few Mishnayos in the Mishnayos. And it goes through the terrible things that are going to happen right before Mashiach comes. All the things that are going to be and all these things. I'm going to quote part of the Mishnah. Tell me the Chamim will be embarrassed publicly in front of other people, regular Jews as well. Everybody's going to feel embarrassed that they're Jewish. They'll have to cover their heads in shame. Chafuas roshem, they'll cover their heads completely. Nobody is going to care about anyone, even a person of renowned deeds who has tremendous, tremendous chuyos. Nonetheless, strong-armed men will rule the world. People who speak Lashon Hara will rule the world. No one will search out for the truth. No one will be mevakesh the emes. No one's going to really want it. No one's going to even ask for it. And then the Mishnah says, Valmili Yishayin, who do we rely on at such a time? Alavinu Shabashamayim. We rely on our Father in Shemayim, that we rely on a Kaddish Baruch. And seemingly the Mishnah is saying, because of all these terrible things that are going to happen in the future, all the bad things are going to happen one after the other, we can't rely on other people. We can't expect other people to be involved. Rather, it's only up to a Kaddish Baruch Hu to save us. Says Rav Chaim, even that line is part of the horrible things that are going to happen in the times of Mashiach. Right before Mashiach comes, the problem is that everyone's going to give up hope. Everyone's going to give up completely. I can't do anything anymore. So instead of working hard, instead of doing better, instead of trying to improve with other people and to make a chabura, to make other people better, instead he just said, forget it. I'm just going to rely on Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of everything. He's going to do everything for me, and I have nothing else that I can do. Says Rav Chaim, that's the wrong attitude. To say that it's either you do it, Hashem, or bust, or there's nothing, is the wrong attitude to have. Of course we need Siyata Dishmaya. Of course we need a Kaddish Baruch Hu to help us. Of course a Kaddish Baruch Hu is the only one to rely on. Of course. But if your attitude is, I can't do anything, there's nothing that I can do here, then you've lost. You've been miyayish on the Geula for yourself and for Klal Yisrael. You don't think anything can happen. And this was essentially the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu looks at a Kaddish Baruch Hu, after Paro says, Nirpim Atem, Nirpim, you're a bunch of lazy people. And he says, Kaddish Baruch Hu, what are we supposed to do here? How is this supposed to happen? Nothing's gotten easier at the end of Shmos. Nothing's been easier for them. There's no way that this is going to work. Kaddish Baruch Hu said, how can you say such a thing? That's where Ve'era, Avram, Ve'el Yitzchak, Ve'el Yaakov, I appeared to them, Bekel Shakoy, Ushmi Hashem Lorodati Lam. They didn't ask those questions. This is a level where we start understanding, right, it's hard, it's really difficult, and we might not be able to do it, but we can do it, and we're going to do everything we can to be on that level, to do what we need to bring Mashiach. And with that, we help him. Rav Chanan then goes on and he says the following. There are two holidays that we celebrate, Purim and Hanukkah. And although they're similar in that they're both Durabanans, there's a major difference between them. Both of those holidays were saved from our enemies. Purim, obviously, from Haman and Amalekim. From Hanukkah, it was from the Yevanim, the Syrian Greeks, and the people that were around. There's a major difference in how we celebrate Purim and Hanukkah. Nobody here needs any clues when it comes to this. Hanukkah, is there a feast? You eat a donut. There's no official Seuda. Do you have something a little bit more special on Hanukkah? Of course, you have something a little special, something with oil. But the ikar behind Hanukkah is lahodos ulahalel, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The halal is the ikar. The tfilos are the ikar. Where you add on al anisim into your Shemona Esrei and inside your benching. That's what it's all about. That maybe you make the brachos on the Hanukkah lift and afterward you sing for a little bit. That's what you do on Hanukkah. But on Purim, it's not lahodos ulahalel. There is no halal on Purim. There's Megillas Esther. And the Kriyasa Zuhihi Lula, maybe that becomes the Hallel. But what's Purim all about? It's the Mishnah B'Simcha. It's feasting. It's being happy. It's getting everyone out. It's making a Suda. Making a Suda. And what's the difference? Why is it that Hanukkah is Lahodus Lahallel, while Purim is the Mishto Simcha? So it's obvious. If we think about both Chagim, Levush says in Orach Chaim, Siman Tov Reish Ayin, he says, Haman tried to kill us physically. There was no way to save us by worshiping another god. We would have gone to Haman and said, can we worship your god? If we do that, will we be on your side? Haman wouldn't have agreed. He wanted the Jews gone completely. Like we spoke about with Amalek last week. Amalek are the people that don't care what you're willing to do. It doesn't matter to him that you are willing to do something different. Amalek hates Jews, period, for being the people of God. And that's what Haman was. There was no way to get out. Antiochus didn't want us dead. He was willing to kill us if we weren't going to follow him. But his ichor was to keep us alive, keep the culture alive, and allow us to be integrated into Syrian Greek society, to be part of who they were and what they were doing. By Haman, when it's a death physically, we're told to daven, we're told to fast, we're told to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy to be able to get out of this. By Hanukkah, we girded our loins with weapons. We put swords and shields upon our sides, and we went out to war to go fight against the Syrian Greeks. Without a question, the Chashmonaim davened, but that's not the ikar. The ikar is that they fought the war. Without a question, at the time of Purim, had they known Amalek was coming, Haman was coming against them, they would have gotten whatever weapons necessary. But that wasn't the ikar. That's not what they're doing. So that doesn't make any sense. When we're going to die physically, we daven. When we're going to die spiritually, we fight. Does that make any sense? How does that work? So there are two ways that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can bring about Onshei Shamayim, punishments from Shamayim. The first way is through, let's call it, Maiseh Hashem, through something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is directly involved with. And the second way is Maiseh Satan, through the Satan himself, through an intermediary that allows something to happen. In that sense, there are two ways that we go about our lives when that happens. If it's Maiseh Hashem, coming straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the point of these Yisurim, these tribulations that we go under, the trials that we have, the point of them, if Hashem's involved, Hashem is doing it, that what he wants is for us to do tshuva. He's asking us to daven. He wants us to do something for him because he's only bringing it as a Maiseh Hashem so that you realize that Hashem is involved. So the way to work on that is to say, I'm going to do something for Hashem. That's what you do. And if it's a Maiseh Satan, if the Satan's involved, of course davening works. But by the Satan, you have to get up and you have to fight. You can't just sit there and be passive. You have to get up and you have to do something. Fighting in a situation where Hashem wants you to do tshuva makes no sense. But fighting in a situation where you see it's the enemy opposite you, it's the Yetzer Hara, and my fighting of the Syrian Greeks represents how I'm fighting my Yetzer Hara on the inside, something changes. In such a case, when Haman was trying to destroy us as a nation, as a people, not about stopping us from doing mitzvos. He wants to kill us. We realize this is a Maiseh Hashem, a gzeira min hashamayim, so that we sit and daven and learn and do tehillim and do everything we can to get rid of the gzeira min hashamayim. Haman is a puppet, clearly, just wants to kill us. That's a puppet. Davening and tehillim and doing tshuva is the ikar. When it's a nation that wants to destroy our mitzvos, take us away from doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, that's a Maiseh Satan. Hashem would never want that. Hashem would never want an enemy to do such a thing. At that point, you get up and you fight against your enemy. You get up against the Yetzer Hara. That's a Molech, so to speak. And you go up to fight against those ideas that they represent and destroy them completely. In the situation where we're in today, this is not 75 years ago. This is not where people are trying to destroy our bodies. And Baruch Hashem, yes, there are unfortunately situations that are there, but Baruch Hashem, us in America, that's not the challenge that we're in right now. We're in a spiritual fight. We're in a fight where the world is against our ruchnias. Take down what the Torah says. You can remain Jews. We don't mind a culture of Jewish people. but we mind what you're doing. We don't like what you're doing as a people. When you say something, you think you have morality, we know what real morality is. That's what the nation is coming and trying to tell us. So we're in a maisa satan. A maisa satan. So the eitza here is to fight. To get swords and shields and fight. But who are we going to fight? How do you fight here? There's no Syrian Greeks that are coming with armies against us. There's no nation that's standing by themselves. What do? You know, the Chafetz Chaim told Rabbi Ochanan, Rabbi Ochanan quotes this, that when the Communist Party first started in Russia and they wanted to take away religion, just bring everything out, and the realization hit them that all of a sudden this was a war against religion, when that hit them, at first they didn't realize it. When it happened, the Chafetz Chaim told Rabbi Ochanan, we made a serious error here, and I'm translating from the Yiddish, when they began the reign of terror and they took away our religious freedom, we were chayiv to get up and fight them the Mesiris Nefesh. We were chayiv to get up. We should have fought them with Mesiris Nefesh. He said many Jews would have died. Said the Chafetz Chaim, many Jews would have died had we done it. But the powers of the Satan would have been weakened. And who knows? Who knows what would have happened? It would have changed the course of history. Because in such a situation where they're fighting the religion, they're fighting our ruchnis, they're going up there telling us, don't do mitzvahs, don't believe in God, don't learn Torah. In such a situation, we learn from Hanukkah. What do? You're moser nefesh. You give up your life for Torah. You do everything you can, and you'll die, happily die, for that. And unfortunately, Rabbi Chanan said, nobody did it. At this point, when we realized what they were doing, they were too strong. And at this point, nobody has the power to be able to get up. He felt it was too late. Chafetz Chaim never made this war, never made that battle against the Communist Party. So on the other hand, we are required to fight. So, but what do? We can't fight. What do? Me, in America, I'm sitting here. Tzvi Zimmerman is sitting in America. What am I going to do? I'm going to run to Walmart? There's enough weirdos in Walmart that are running out in swords and shields, right? I have to be another weirdo that's running into Walmart? I'm going to stand in the street, the end is nigh, and hold a placard going around the streets, the end is nigh, and fight me if you want to, I'll fight you one more. That doesn't make any sense. So what are we supposed to do? So Rabbi Chanan suggests an opposite type of way. If you can't fight them directly, because we have no one to fight, can't fight against nobody, you can fight them indirectly. You have to go in an indirect fashion. But to fight indirectly, the way to fight them is to know where their power is, and to be able to get rid of it. Everybody's into football now, especially if you have a fantasy team. The key to any good football coach is to anticipate what the other team is going to game plan for you. What are they game planning for? They are expecting you to do X. What am I going to do to get around their game plan? They've seen all my plays. They know the type of lines that I do, the lineups that I have. They know how I play offense, how I play defense, and they're going to game plan. They're going to say, when they do this, you're going to do this. When they do that, you're going to do that. They're going to have that. So any good coach is going to tell you, let's game plan to be able to get circumvent any of the ideas that they're going to have. Let's do that. So let's find out. If we're going to fight Amalek, if we're going to go up against Amalek, and we can't fight them physically, where is their power? What is their strength? What's their co-op that they say, here's where we are, that we can get around, we can move around and maybe get to the back and ambush him from behind? How can we do it in an indirect fashion? So Chazal tell us a hint when Amalek came against Klal Yisrael on Parshas Bishalach and said they came Berefidim. They came in the area called Refidim. And Chazal catch that. They say, why specifically Refidim? The area shouldn't matter. Why was it Refidim? And Chazal say, because the Bnei Yisrael were Rafu Yadayim Min HaTorah. They weakened themselves from the Torah they knew they should have been learning. They had stopped themselves from learning a little bit. Something was too much for them. The line of Lo HaYamayim Lahem La'eda, there was no water for the Eda. We learned they didn't learn Torah as much as they should have. And at that moment, even though they hadn't received the Torah yet, Har Sinai had not happened yet. But they were roughly dying from whatever halachos Moshe Rabbeinu had taught them and what they were supposed to do. At that moment, Amalek was able to come against them and destroy them. If that's where Amalek's strength lies, their strength is when we're not learning. And that gives them a power, so to speak. And we can't fight them physically because there is no one up against us, coming against us. There's no way to fight them physically. Then the way to fight them in an indirect fashion is to strengthen our hands when it comes to Torah. To build up the powers we have by learning more and more. And the more we strengthen ourselves with that power of Torah, we're able to defeat those kohos, the powers that they took for themselves. When I become a massive Talmud Chacham, in years and years and years from now, when I become that Talmud Chacham, the aura that will exude from me will immediately dispel any of the tumah that tries to get in. You're trying to tell me to watch a movie? What, are you kidding me? I wouldn't watch a movie. I'm filled with Torah. Why would I want to watch a movie? Oh, but it's the best movie. The best. I don't want it. I'm so filled with Torah, I am exuding it forth. Nothing's able to break in. You can't get to me. When a person tries to tell me to do something that's wrong, can you imagine somebody going to Rav Chaim Knievsky today? A man who's beyond kulo Torah. There's nothing else in the world. Can you imagine a guy going to Rav Chaim Knievsky and saying, come, let's go do a sin together. Can you imagine anything like that? Does that make any sense? Going to be like, don't make a bracha on food. Don't make a bracha on food. It won't happen. You can't get a person like that to do something wrong. He's surrounded by Talmidei Chachamim that are atzum b'Torah, that are filled with Torah themselves all day long. Every movement that he makes, they know is kulo Torah. You can't get a person like that to do something wrong. So when you fill yourself with Torah, when you just fill yourself until you're literally overflowing with Torah, at that point, that's when you're able to be so strong, you defeat the kohos of Amalek. You take down what Amalek stands for. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was raising his hands for. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, he puts his hands up to Shemayim, has his hands all the way up to Shemayim, and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here I am. And the people are standing there, they're watching Moshe Rabbeinu up on top of the mountain. And they're able to defeat Amalek. They were seeing a person who was kulo Torah. And they understood that's the power. And they took upon themselves, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to be like him. This wasn't a real fight, a war. This was Moshe Rabbeinu's limud HaTorah that allowed for the people to say, that's what we're going to do ourselves. And this is what we can do for ourselves. And we have a job in the yeshiva. We don't have it for that much more. For those who are going to be here, hopefully everybody gets to learn for another year, 2, 3 years after they finish yeshiva in college. But who knows how long you're going to be able to have where you can be kulo Torah, to be allowed to sit there and learn. You have a little bit longer during this little time that you have left. Allow yourself to fill yourself as much as possible. This is your job. So that you can dispel anything else that comes from without. There is no way to put a filter on a phone that is going to be good enough to stop you from seeing whatever it is you don't want to see. There's no way. The only solution is not to have a phone. That's the only solution. There is no way. But if you're the type of person who's filled with Torah, you won't allow the phone to come in. You won't be able to go there. You won't circumvent the different ideas that everybody puts in. You won't do it. Because how could you? That's the type of person we're talking about. That's the type of person that destroys Amalek. So what does that mean for you? That means, we've already said not to be Miayish. Don't be Miayish from the Gula. It's coming. It's going to be here. We need to do something to bring that. What's the thing that we can do? What's our job? Our job is adding. Adding. As Pirkei Avos says, Udalo Mosif, if you don't add onto it, you're safe. You're gone. There's no point to you being here. Keep adding to what you have. Do a little bit more. Something a little bit more than what you're used to. And then, all of a sudden, you're able to strengthen your hands enough. There's no more Rafidim. There's no more Amalek. You've done what you were supposed to do. Let's start there. We've got our two jobs now. We'll lead into the third job, where a person's supposed to go with this once we know Mashiach has come. Shkach, everybody.